All right, for this morning's Sunday school message, if you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we'll read verses 14 through 16. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And the word of the Lord says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives the light to all who are in that house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have it. And that we can use it to glorify you and to shine our light among men. We pray that you will help us to learn from this text and help me to stay faithful to it. And help us to learn how to shine our light before men so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever stumbled aimlessly in your house in the middle of the night in pitch dark? What do you need? You need light. What do you need when you're in a dark forest? A lot of times you should take a flashlight. You need light to see your way around. So when Christ states that we are the light of the world, what can we glean from this? So lost people need light. They need to know Christ, who is the true light of the world, but also we are also the light of the world, in so much as we are united to Christ. So Christ not only calls us the light of the world, but he also calls himself the light of the world. If you would, John 8:12. And it says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So if we are in Christ, the true light of the world, this is how we can also be the light of the world, and we can show our light to others. We can be the light of the world in as much as we're united to Christ, and as much as we can show his light to others. People need to see the light in us and in Christ. They need to be led to Christ as the true light of the world. So, biblically speaking, the use of light is used in various ways. In Psalm 119, the word it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In Psalm 119, verse 105. So we have Christ, the light of the world. We're the light of the world. And the Word, the Bible, is also considered a lamp or a light to our path. We will seek to expound this text of us being the light of the world under three headings. Number one, what are we as Christians commanded to do concerning shining our light before men? Number two, how are we, as Christ calls us the light of the world, dependent upon Christ to spread hope in the darkness in this world? And number three, what are the full implications of the command for us to shine our light before men? First of all, what are we as Christians commanded to do concerning shining our light before men? We are commanded to shine our light before men so that people will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So there's an end to this, that we want men to most of all glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We encounter many people in our past who need to see the light in work, at work, in at our home, in sometimes in our homes, sometimes in our dealings with everyday life, like going to restaurants, or going to school, or various other things. We must not hide our light. We must share it with others. We must let it be evident that we are light. We are called salt and light to the world. We are also told that our being in the light calls us to love one another. This is one way we will shine our light before men. In 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. We read, "On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So if we are to truly be light, we must love one another, and we must show that love to others. We are the light of the world, and we must be wary of walking in darkness. The Apostle John states that if we hate our brother and say we are in the light, we are in the darkness. Be ever so careful that you do not stumble walking in the darkness by hating your brother. Love your brother. We also must be guided by the ultimate light of the world, our Savior Jesus Christ. Only with him are we able to be light to others." Also, the light imagery used in the Bible is frequently contrasted with the darkness. It's often contrasted with the world and Satan and the powers of this world. Paul warns us of being conformed to the world and to walking in darkness. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So be different than the world. Be light. Don't walk in darkness. Many times in the Bible, darkness is used to refer to the vices of Satan and the world. So in being called the light of the world, take this command by the Apostle Paul to heart. Be transformed. In the verse prior, he called Christians to set aside their bodies as holy and living sacrifices, which is acceptable and is our spiritual service of worship. Now he is urging us to not be like the world, but to be transformed. So first of all, he's teaching us to set our bodies aside as holy and living sacrifices. And now he's not telling us to not be conformed to the world. So be different, be light. Paul is addressing us to work towards sanctification. Sanctification is a process. God is working in his saints to pursue holiness and persevere. In many places in Scripture, we are assured that should we truly be in Christ, we will indeed persevere to the end. With this said, there are also many warnings to consider for encouragement for us to persevere. It is not all God. Sanctification also makes us a part of that. God works in us so that we will work towards sanctification. While it is true that justification is by faith in Christ alone, James rightly states that faith without works is dead. How else will we shine our light before men so that they may glorify the Father in men, if men do not see the good fruit we bear? We are to bear good fruit in being light. Can we claim to be in light while neglecting the good works that God wills us to do? You don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 2:10, we read, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." God prepared beforehand the good works that we would do so that in doing them, men would see our light and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Our justifying faith becomes obvious in our good works, not that they in turn save us, but that the people will know us by our fruits. We are Christ's workmanship, and God prepared these works beforehand for us to do. The intricacies of God's plan are mysterious, yet he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Nothing can thwart the ultimate will of God. We encounter many different people of differing backgrounds, culture, religions, etc. We must so order our lives that our light shines brightly, that people will know we are God's people by how we act, talk, compose ourselves, and all other interactions with them. The way we talk, the way we dress, the way we compose ourselves in the workplace, the way we deal with people on a daily basis, the way we treat our family, will all be evident to people, and they will see that, and we must be sure that it portrays light, that it shows light to men. People see and notice how you live. Dear Christian, be careful of how you represent the body of Christ. How easy it is, if we do not properly guard ourselves, to fall into the very same sin that we preach against in others. It's easy for us to preach against someone else's sin, but yet how often do we fall into that same sin, right? It is a constant battle with the world. It's our constant enemy. If we're children of God, we will be in constant battle with the world. So it's a constant battle, and we're commanded to live unto holiness. So we must persevere. Our second point, how are we, as Christ calls us the light of the world, dependent upon Christ to spread hope in the darkness in this world? It is no doubt that we are entrenched heavily in the depths of darkness in this world, and many are walking in darkness. We must give them hope. We have hope, and they do not. So what can we offer them? The truth is that many of these people that we interact with, they don't have hope because they don't have the gospel. They don't have light. They have not ever been presented the gospel. They're blinded, not knowing where to go. If they don't have light, they can't see, right? They need light, and we are that light, and so is Christ. And we are ordered by Christ to show that light, shine it before men, so that they see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Remember, the end is not to glorify us. The end is to glorify God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans 10. Romans 10. And we'll read verses 14 through 15. And this text illustrates the real urgency it is to preach the word of God to other men. Romans 10, 14 through 15, we read, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." People need to hear the gospel. And how are they going to hear it? A lot of people don't go to church. So if they don't go to church, how will they hear the gospel? It is our duty, even if we're not called to ordained ministry, to share the light, the gospel, to other men when the opportunity presents itself. We can still evangelize even if we're not called to be ordained elders. We see people at work who we can interact with in extending the gospel. We might even have lost family members who we can proclaim the good news of the gospel. If we have this hope, then if we love these people, wouldn't it be right to share this hope with those people? Part of our shining our light before men means offering lost people the hope that only the gospel can give. And this does not include just proclaiming words pertaining to the gospel. We must show them by our good works. We must live what we preach. Stay constant in the word and show these people that you mean what you say. Let us be careful of being hypocritical. While many may just use the guise of hypocrisy in the church as a blatant excuse to forsake the assembly, let us not give actual warrant to that excuse. It's no doubt that many people in the church give Christians a bad name. But let us be careful that we're not the ones that are giving them this excuse. There are many bad excuses for forsaking the assembly, but let us be careful that we do not prod them into fortifying their excuses. Let us encourage them to join with us in corporate worship and help strengthen their image of Christians so that the gospel will be easier for them to grasp as truth instead of a facade that we give mere lip service to. People can see right through you. Just understand that. That people can see through the way you talk. Many profess Christ, yet their life bears little evidence of that saving faith. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount makes this clear. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, this is a very sobering warning. We see, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is sobering. People will say they profess Christ, but we need to make sure that our lives show that. Then let us be the type of Christian that do the will of the Father and that Christ delights in. Let us bear good fruit and give people the hope that we have. We are commanded to let our light shine so that men may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. As we are the light of the world, we must love our neighbors. They will know us by our love. You don't have to turn there. John 13:35, it reads, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Recently, I preached on Proverbs, loving our enemy. This could be applicable as well. We are his disciples if we love one another and if we do his will. Loving some people is difficult, yet it is essential to being a disciple of Christ. We have biblical truths presented to us about loving others. It is all throughout the Bible. As we grow in our love for the Lord, so will we grow in our love towards others. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If you would turn in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. And it reads, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So if we could just practice these two great commandments, in doing so, we would fulfill the law, because that's what the law was presented for, to love God and to love others. So in shining our light, let us demonstrate love towards one another. If we love God, we will not harbor ill will towards others despite their hate towards us. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Jews and Samaritans had a distinct hatred towards one another. Yet in this parable, the Samaritan shows compassion for the Jew that fell into the hands of evil men and was left beaten. If Christ so loved us, then should we not demonstrate that same Lord's love towards others? We must extend mercy to others like the Good Samaritan and be benevolent in our dealings with others. We must put away wrath, malice, anger, bitterness, and all the such. We must be salt and light in a world full of darkness. It is no doubt we encounter darkness on a daily basis. By this, Christ will be glorified, and Christ will use us to bring others to himself. Keep in mind, this is none of ours to boast about, yet it is humbling that God uses us as a means of drawing men to himself. It is not us who save, but let us be humble in knowing that God sometimes uses us as a means of drawing men towards himself. Thirdly, what are the full implications of the command for us to shine our light before men? In the main part, one implication is that men see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Remember, in the Westminster Catechism, the first question, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. One way we can glorify God is for others to glorify God and seeing how we conduct ourselves and how we shine our light before them. Let us be light in the midst of darkness. There is no doubt that we will be surrounded by darkness all around us, but take heart, dear Christian, and do not shy away from your biblical convictions in order to appease the world. There's no warrant for us to be at peace with the world. Yes, we should pursue peace in as much as we don't lose our biblical convictions. We must pursue holiness before we pursue peace. By your life of holiness, you will most likely make worldly men uncomfortable and leave their consciences disturbed. This is a great sign. This means that the Lord is working by his grace through you for the possible salvation of others. Do not be like the world, who has not any convictions. Separate yourselves from the unholy lives of the world. This does not mean that you become a hermit or a monk, ridding yourself of any contact from the worldly men. We need to have some contact with men in the world so that we can extend the offer of the gospel. If we cut off all contact with the world, we can't share the gospel with them. We have hope that they need. So let us, in as much as we don't compromise our biblical convictions, let us be in that world, but let us not be conformed to that world. Live out the gospel in private and in public. Keep yourself guarded by your private devotions with God, and when you are in public, you will be more prepared to fight off the cunning devices of the devil. The battling of the world's influence on us is a constant battle. Ephesians 6:10-17. This is the text on the armor of God. And this, if we fully understand this, we will be prepared to fight off any of the world. And it reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So arm yourselves with the word, the helmet of salvation, the sandals of the preparation of the gospel, and the breastplate of righteousness, take up the armor of God. God has properly equipped us for the spiritual battles we will face as Christians. If we were left to our own devices, we would fail. God promises to walk alongside of us and not forsake us. Take note also that most of the armor of God is defensive. However, there is one offensive weapon, and that is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Use the Word of God as God has ordained for us to use. Is it not encouraging that we have the Word in our own language? The Roman Catholic Church feared that the people would possess the Bible in their own language. Thankfully, there were great men who fought against the evilness of the Catholic Church and risked their lives for the spiritual good of the people. Let us learn from these brave souls. Let us learn that we must not be ashamed to stand for what is right and shine our light. Most definitely, we will experience persecution and trials. However, do not lose heart. All this is for God's glory and our good. Christ warned us of this. He warned that we'd be hated if the world hated him. In John 15:18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you." Christ even states that the ones experiencing persecution in difficult times for righteousness' sake will be blessed. So take heart. Stand for righteousness and let your light shine even if it is exceedingly difficult. The Christian life is never promised to be easy. The trials are for our good, as states James in his epistle. God uses everything for his purpose and is working things together for the good to those that love him. It might look discouraging at the time, but trust God. We have testimony of many who have experienced great difficulty and persevered. They were put to death, yet they stayed faithful to their testimony of God. Indeed, these people did sin, but do not focus all your attention on their downfalls. Take encouragement from their faithfulness to God and how they sought to live lives of repentance and faith. Learn to forsake your sin and grow in holiness so that people see your light shining brightly and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Show your light to men so that they can see the good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. People are watching, and take heed that you do not give men excuses to call you out for hypocrisy and blame their rebellious deeds on bad examples of professing Christians. Indeed, people will use excuses any way they can get them. Do not give them an inch. Do not give them excuses. In your dealings with people at work, at home, at church, and wherever you go, make sure you set a godly example. Live your life for the glory of God so that men see this, and they will most likely be drawn to God. Setting a godly example, you might encourage others to walk in the light as you do. When you consecrate your life to God, others will see. Some most assuredly will hate you, as Christ warned, but perhaps some will see the difference in how you conduct yourselves and see that you're different than others. When you speak to others about the gospel, be sure that your life testifies about that gospel. Don't just talk. Live it. Most assuredly, people take notice. Do not think that your efforts of practicing godliness are in vain. People see. It will most likely put you in enmity to the world, yet do not lose heart, because your perseverance might be God's ordained means to bring some men to himself. In setting a godly example, some will hate you, but maybe one day they will see that they were hating God instead. What you do to a true Christian, you do to God himself. It's like when Christ saw Paul on the way to Damascus, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So Paul was persecuting Christ just as much as he was persecuting the church. So maybe they will see this. Practice patience in dealing with worldly men, because while for a while it might be trying, in the end, it could be rewarding by God's grace. Remember that the trying of your faith produces endurance. Set your foundation firmly in Christ and do not be moved. No matter how hard the world tries to persuade you to give and sacrifice your morals and dampen the light you shine, do not give in. Keep pressing on to the glory of God. As far as applications, number one, do whatever is possible to shine your light brightly before men. Men need the light, so show that light so that these men will see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Do not let your light go out. Keep it burning. Wherever you go, take it. Let it shine and do not be ashamed of the gospel. There's nothing to be ashamed about the gospel. Yes, we might gain enemies, but we might also be instruments of righteousness to bring God glory. Be a great testimony to the great grace God has brought in your life, and use it to encourage lost sinners to seek Christ. When indeed people come to Christ because of your godly influence, know that it was none of you, but that God used you. It is not us who saves, yet God uses his people to bring other people to himself. In being a light to the world, love one another. Love fulfills the law. Remember the two great commandments. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. The two great commandments are love towards God and neighbor. If you do these two commandments, you will most likely fulfill the law. This is part of being the light of the world. Be more and more conformed to the image of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be different from the world, as Paul says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Seek first the kingdom of God, and indeed be the light of the world. And thirdly, if you are still outside of Christ, you are not the light of the world. You are still much like the world that is at enmity with the light. You are still in darkness, and you need light. So come to Christ. We would urge you to come to Christ and gain that light. Be the light. Come to him and let Christ work a grace in your life so that you can truly be the light of the world, and in doing so, other men will eventually see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Flee to Christ. In conclusion, as true believers, we are the light of the world. We must not be afraid to let it shine. Even Christ commands us to let our light shine in such a way that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. This is a command of Christ our Lord. Christ commanded it. This is non-negotiable. We don't have a choice. God seeks to be glorified, and this is one of the ways in which God will be glorified. Do not be ashamed when many scorn you or think evil of you, because God is most likely working in you to bring others to himself. Let us close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this message. I pray that despite my weaknesses, that you bring glory to yourself, Lord, and that you might use it to minister to others. Lord, pray that you will help us take this message and take its applications and help us live out and be light to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.